So Chris, we're picking up with the seventh generation of video game consoles and fun times.
Yeah, man. We got ambitious last week. Now we can finish off the last three generations.
It was good. There was a lot to cover, and I feel like as the older generations come around, there's a little more substance to them. But I think there's also it's strange because I was also thinking about this while playing Elden Ring about how like it's just there's so much now, and it's I feel like there is a diminishing returns with video games at this moment. And when there's a really, really good game out, it just shines so much because it just there's too much of like the free-to-play formats, and I think this is when we're starting to see that in the later years of this generation. But where do we start with the seventh generation?
So
Do we
where do
start
we
with the
start?
Wii?
Well,
Do
okay,
we
so let's tell everyone what the seventh generation is, first of all. So the seventh generation consists of the Xbox 360, the PlayStation 3, and the Wii.
Yeah, it's interesting. Where do we really start?
This generation is interesting in a couple of points. Number one, this is the first generation where the internet online activity is really coming into its own.
Yes.
Digital distribution, DLC especially.
Oh yeah, multiplayer games are in full swing. Call of Duty
Call of Duty and Halo.
is just burning up everything.
And motion controls also really picked up at this time because, the Wii, huge seller.
Major seller.
And it
It
had
may it
every game had Waggle, and that led to the Kinect and the PlayStation Move and others. So
Now, whatever happened to the PlayStation Move?
whenever Matt comes on, he'll be sure to tell you because I don't fucking know.
I think it would be good to start with the weaker console of this generation, and that's not the PlayStation 3. Hush your face.
Yeah, the PlayStation 3 really stumbled out of the gates.
It wind up shining a little bit later. I'm talking about the Wii. I feel like the Wii is the
Oh.
weaker console out of this generation. Like I said, this could be a hot take for a lot of people, but personally for me, I just don't think the Wii had it. In the beginning, it was strong. It had a lot of things in the beginning. It had a lot of really interesting things going for it, but I just felt like it was too ambitious for what it was, and it was a great GameCube.
It's very telling that it was backwards compatible with the GameCube.
Yeah. And then we start seeing backwards compatibility with Nintendo, like NES games.
I had a Wii and I didn't love it. I didn't do a whole lot with it. And I think the motion controls were a real bugaboo for a lot of people because developers didn't really understand it. And that's kind of a thing that Nintendo has dealt with over the years, especially with its sequel, the Wii U. Developers didn't really know what to do with it, so they just mushed out shovelware by the armload. And the company that
Yeah.
did really get it was Nintendo. Their first party games on the Wii were generally good, like Twilight Princess and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. It is really strange how like it's a real Nintendo system, and the other developers just couldn't grasp it at this time. I think they were aiming for something else, honestly.
And I think the fact that it was less powerful than the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360 really played into it too, because those guys were getting, really interesting games like BioShock and fuck, what am I thinking of?
Mass Effect,
Mass Effect and
Assassin's Creed,
yeah, they were getting big, bold open world games, And the Wii
Do
kind of couldn't do anything with it. It
anything.
was kind of stuck.
This was also the beginning of HD. High definition was coming to full swing at this time.
Sure.
And the PlayStation and the Xbox, both formats dealing with high definition.
Very
But
interesting.
those price points, though, are slightly ridiculous.
Well, and that's why the Wii was part of the reason why the Wii was so successful, because it was $250. And you could, and at that price, and you know, we can't really understate like Wii Sports.
No, that's true.
Like the olds love Wii Sports.
The old.
Yeah. We
What
went
is.
to a retirement house one day, and they had a Wii still set up to play Wii Bowling, with the
Well,
television.
funny story, and I gotta say, I give Nintendo some really great props for this. Nintendo has a donation service established where with your old consoles, you can send it to them. They'll refurbish it, and then they'll give it to retirement homes, children's hospitals, all these things, all these different facilities, so people could have video games.
That's neat. I never knew that.
Yeah. And it's for all consoles. It's not just Nintendo consoles. It's all everything. They take everything.
That's very nice of them.
It really is.
What is the defining game of the Wii for you? Is it Twilight Princess?
I had the Wii in the beginning right at launch. I got it a week after it launched, waited in lines, I got Twilight Princess. I don't remember Twilight Princess. I don't remember the game. I just can't remember it. I don't understand, like, I know the game happened. And I've played almost every Zelda game up to Twilight Princess. And then after Twilight Princess, I really haven't played a Zelda game. I haven't even played Breath of the Wild.
Well, you should. You should get on that.
I sh kind of should get on that. It
No, you
looks
know which
really.
game you should get is Legend of Zelda: Link's Awakening.
Look, I that game looks amazing, and I do need to get it.
Great with a capital G.
But I don't remember anything from that game.
He's a wolf boy.
That's it, right?
Yeah. He's a wolf boy.
Like, but I also got Red Steel, and I played that for a bit, and that was fine. I really think at the end of the day, the freeware that came with the system was where the system shined. Wii Sports is the game. I just don't think anyone can really argue with that.
So we're moving on from the Wii, 'cause we'll talk more about the Wii when we hit the Wii U. We have, I'm sorry, what?
Is the Wii U in this generation?
No, it's next generation, but we'll get there.
Oh, okay.
We also have the PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
$599.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
That was such a badly thought out plan.
They were banking on like Blu-ray to be such a mind-blowing technology. And just like any Sony developed technology, it always stumbles out of the gate. And then eventually it becomes like the main, it's like Blu-ray is the main format. We get it. Okay, cool. But it took a while for people to really get it. Like, what is this tater lasers? What are we talking about here? Blue, it's a blue laser. What is it doing? Why is it called Blu-ray? What are we talking about?
I've had PlayStation 3 is a system that has troubled me the most. I had three that crashed.
Really?
Yes. I don't know what
I
happened.
know.
They fucking suck.
I didn't get a launch model PlayStation 3. I got a PlayStation 3 Slim later on, and it was a wrapped gift after finishing Green Lantern. And I thought that was really nice. They were just throwing out PlayStation 3s to people, and I was like, how did this happen?
Ryan Reynolds generosity.
But like, That thing was a beast. It kept chucking. It still lives today. My brother has it, and he uses it as like a Blu-ray player occasionally.
To be fair, the issues I had were with the original fat model that was backwards compatible all the way to the PlayStation 1, which was a good gimmick, but obviously it was a problem because
It was a problem.
I think the PlayStation 3 was a it got there, but it really struggled for the first couple of years.
It really did. It was a I don't know, it just felt like it was missing something.
Well, I don't know that it was missing anything because, like, once they got their footing, they put out fucking bangers of games. They put out
Yes.
Uncharted, The Last of Us, God of
Yes.
War 3. Just
And
hit
that's
after hit
true.
after hit.
That's true. Metal Gear Solid 4,
Infamous.
Infamous was really great. Really, honestly, Uncharted is what defies this system. I still feel like Uncharted 2 is one of the best games ever made.
Yes, I agree
And
with
I
that.
think it hangs on that opening. That opening is so good, and it's so memorable for me because I find it just a great, I don't know, I think it's just a really great opening for a video game. And it's just that game is suspense the whole time.
Yeah, I think what Sony found in this time period was the cinematic game. You know,
Yeah.
because their games, you know, they had beautiful, gorgeous cutscenes of length. They had exciting set pieces that really defined what the PlayStation was going to be from now on.
Yeah, and I agree with that. It was them figuring out that, yeah, they need to rely on their studio-based games.
Yeah,
Because
they had to take the Nintendo route of making their first party as must play as possible.
and it worked. It paid off.
It did. It took a little bit because, like we said, that $5.99 US dollars is that was a tough pill to swallow.
That was a tough, that was, but I do, it's really, it's the Uncharted games and Demon's Souls. I think Demon's Souls is probably the biggest sleeper, and I don't think anyone really anticipated on what was going to become from Demon's Souls.
No, it started a
And
whole new genre.
that was one of the main reasons why I got a PlayStation. Well, I got it for free, but I wanted a PlayStation 3. Was because of Demon's Souls. And it was, I don't know, it was a concept. The game, it relied on its concept and it leaned into its concept very well. And it still to this day, I feel like both versions of Demon's Souls are great. I find the PlayStation 5 version of Demon's Souls to be the far more superior one, but the past is so telling of the future of that game developer.
Right.
And I'm trying to look at like other games that really shined. I find that what is that Rockstar game? I can't think of the name.
Grand Theft Auto,
No,
Bully,
no, 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 no.
Red Dead,
No.
Ping
No.
Pong.
You're missing the one of the best Rockstar games. And I
Which
can't even think of the
one?
name.
I think I named them all.
No, you didn't.
Well, then
They had a big st
you better think of it real quick.
the Noir game.
Oh, L.A. Noir.
L.A. Noir. Man, that slipped my
That,
mind.
yeah, that's a that was a good game, but like that was more to show off their lying face than anything else.
But I find it really shined on the PlayStation 3 more than it did the Xbox.
Yeah.
And I think that's when you start seeing the difference between the Blu-ray technology and the high def. Like just the plain, this is just high def disc.
Yeah. Which then, this brings us to the Xbox 360.
Which is a monster of a system.
Yes, launching at $400.
So, I've had many Xbox 360s in my lifetime.
How many have red ringed on you?
Three.
Okay.
And I kept buying Xbox 360s.
Right.
Because I just was, I was in, I loved this system. I really thought this was one of the, it was a perfect system at this time.
It had the detachable hard drive. It had a customizable faceplate. It had Xbox Live, which had finally become something.
Yeah.
And it had some really strong games. It had Halo. It had Call of Duty. This was when the Xbox really became a bro system.
Yeah. It really did. It became a bro system very quickly. I do want to bring up, and before we get really deep into things, what is your favorite interface?
I'll come on record and saying I don't like the PlayStation one, the line system. I don't know what the official name is, but it's basically everything's in the line. I don't like that. I did like the channel system on the Wii. I didn't think that was nice. People are clamoring to go back to the blades on the Xbox 360, and I hate those. I don't like
them. I love the blades. No. The blades remind me of, like, the beginning of Xbox. You know, playing Oblivion and playing the first Assassin's Creed and Mass Effect. And there's just something nostalgic about the blades.
It is nostalgic. I think the current tile system that the Xbox has is better.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that. Because it's neat and it's tidy and you can move things in the right place. So I kind of like that.
Yeah.
An interesting thing in this generation, and I don't know what your thoughts are, the advent of achievements and trophies in games.
Yeah, I really like that with the Xbox. I think that really got you into, like, trying to dig deeper into those games. I can't think of how many games I've, like, completed with achievements. And I know I've done it with Oblivion, and I've done it with Skyrim. I've done it with Skyrim, I think, three different times. I don't know if I should be proud of that. Borderlands, I've done it with Borderlands 1 and 2. No, the achievements were just, it created a really addictive culture for gaming. It really gamified gaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very clever. It kept you in.
I love achievements. I'm a low level achievement hunter because when I play a game, I always look at the achievement list to see, like, do I care enough to try it?
Yeah.
And I've replayed a lot of games that I played originally on PlayStation to get those sweet achievements. So I like it. I think it gives you a reason to go back to the game. I think it's hilarious. In, like, the first year of the Xbox, achievements were wild. Like, it was.
Yeah,
like,
they were.
They were like become rank one in the world in Perfect Dark Zero.
And it's like,
well, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, we should fix that.
I mean, they have. They've gone. They've stopped a lot of those, the really stupid ones. But man.
Yeah.
I love a good achievement list.
I hear you on that. I right now I'm in the process.
You know what? I like a trophy list too. I like them.
Yeah, they're both not they're the same thing, different names. I'm in the process of right now of platinum Elden Ring, and I'm three trophies shy of the platinum trophy, and it's doable. I'm at a point where it's like, oh, this is beyond doable. It's just a little time. So yeah.
Yeah. What do you think is the game that you find with the Xbox 360 the most? Is it Skyrim?
No, it's Mass Effect.
That's Mass Effect. It is Mass Effect.
It's Mass Effect. Mass Effect is there's two games, and it's Mass Effect and Borderlands.
Hmm.
And the reason why I bring up Borderlands is because Borderlands took everything that people loved about Diablo, put it in a first-person shooter. And it utilized Xbox Live.
Yeah.
And everything about it clicked. And I know some people will want to argue, well, Call of Duty. Yeah, that's great. Call of Duty, Halo did it, all that stuff. But the means in order to do these things the way they did it worked out really well. And the first Mass Effect, I still try to debate with myself. It's like, what is the better Mass Effect? I say all three are the better Mass Effect. All three of them together are a great game. Individually, if I have to pick, two. Yeah, two is the better storytelling. It's the action is great, but I think the characters and the storytelling is great in two. But there was something about Mass Effect 1. It's just like the first Assassin's Creed. There is just something about that game and its time and how it was presented. And these are some of the first games in high definition. So you're looking at video games in a completely different light. And they play differently. And the story is becoming different. This is like, it's so fascinating to see the growth of video games. And the storytelling dynamic of video games and using the constraints of technology. And it feels like the Xbox just utilized everything. And it
That's what
wasn't.
allowed them to make such a huge lead in this generation.
Yeah. And Xbox Live helped out a lot. And people were willing to pay. People are willing to pay for monthly services if the monthly service is good.
And that's something we still see to this day.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. I think the Nintendo Switch Online is great. You get NES and Super Nintendo games, and it's like, I don't even know how much I'm like $30 a year?
Yeah, give or take.
That's not a bad deal. Do you want to pay a little more for the Genesis and N64 games? Maybe. We'll talk about it later. The Genesis list is getting really good for the Switch, so I do want to bring that up. But no, I feel like Xbox Live held this system together. This really could have been like a stumble for Microsoft. Microsoft could have had a lot of issues with it, but Microsoft got lucky because Sony screwed the pooch
They sure
big
did.
time. And yeah, it helped Microsoft.
I think we'd also be remiss if we didn't talk about like the Xbox. This was their big push in Japan. So the 360 got a lot of interesting RPGs.
Yeah, it
Like
really
they got Blue
did.
Dragon and The Last of Us, and I'm sorry, Lost Odyssey,
Lost
Persona
Odyssey is.
Sonata.
Oh, Lost Odyssey is still. Why can't we see this anywhere again? Where is it?
You could buy it on Xbox Live.
Yeah,
$40.
but. Wow. That's hurtful.
That's where I bought mine.
Man, that's really hurtful for Lost Odyssey. That's an amazing
Lost
game.
Odyssey is a really old game.
It's an old game, but it's an amazing game. It needs a little love. It needs a little love, people. No, there was a lot of Square Enix was just kind of like, cool, let's do this.
They did throw out a whole bunch of
There is one game
Go
that
ahead.
I think we both agree on that was a sleeper hit. We've talked about this before, and you've mentioned it a few times, and it made me really happy that you remember the Square Enix game for the Xbox. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Is it Infinite Undiscovery?
Infinite Undiscovery!
Yes.
Right? Like, come on.
I get the itch to replay that periodically.
It was good.
Yeah, until my Yakuza phase ends, it'll sit on the back burner.
Infinite Undiscovery was really good. Like, there was a nice little moment. Last Remnant, there was a nice little moment. Square Enix was like, it felt like
They committed to the 360.
it felt like the PlayStation 1 days where they were like, let's see if this works. Cool, Xenogears, throw it out. Vagrant Story, throw it out. Bushido Blade, throw it out. Like, they were just pumping games out, and they were quality.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
Well, as the pendulum swings in video game things, we move on to the eighth generation, the Wii U, the PlayStation 4, and the Xbox One. And technically the
Yeah.
Nintendo Switch,
Yeah,
according
I
to
don't
Media
know.
Molecule.
I feel like the Nintendo Switch should be in the ninth generation. It's like it kicks off the ninth generation.
Yeah, let's focus on the big three. So
Let's, yeah.
let's talk about the Wii U.
I don't even know what to talk about with the Wii U.
The Wii U
Wii
is
U is,
we would not
we
be
would not
able to
be able to
have the Switch without the Wii
switch
U. It's
with
a
the Wii
stepping
U.
stone.
Yeah.
It's a
It's
disaster,
a
though.
It's, yeah. It's sad. What was it
It
really?
was a handheld. A handheld portion with the rest of the system. It kind of sucked. Again, I think this is one of the things that developers didn't really know what to do with the Wii U tablet. And as a result, I don't even think Nintendo knew what to do with it, because they didn't really have any major first-party games except for the remake of Wind Waker.
Yeah, so weird.
Yeah, it was a disaster. I think it came out,
Okay.
and there was definitely confusion over whether it was an add-on to the Wii or it was a different thing entirely. It just really stumbled out of the gates. It never regained its confidence, and it was quietly discontinued. It only lasted like 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. That's really interesting.
It is interesting. It just they tried, they did not go far enough in their creation
Yeah.
of systems.
They just didn't know what to do with it.
My Wii U collected a lot of dust. A lot of dust.
What is the game? What is the essential game for the Wii U?
Fuck, I don't know that there is one. Maybe it's the Wind Waker remake. But also, like I'm looking through the Wii U list on Wikipedia. They have Skylanders. They have a lot of like Wii definitive editions. Like they have the Arkham games, but like the Wii U version.
Yeah.
Monster Hunter. Stuff. I can't find one thing that like really sticks out.
Yeah. I don't think I knew anyone who had a Wii U.
I mean, Matt had a Wii U, of course.
Well, yeah. Of course he did.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you. So that's the Wii U. It sucks. It's a bad system. And that brings us to the Xbox One.
One. Which is really funny. I did not get an Xbox One, and I was a avid Xbox 360 fan, and I was all on board with Microsoft. And then this is around the time when I first met Matt, and I had a whole conversation with Matt about like, what should I do, PlayStation 4 or Xbox
And
One?
Matt
And
thought you got the PlayStation 4.
he looked at me and he said, "Go get the PlayStation 4."
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's a very Matt thing to do. No, the Xbox One was, first of all, gigantic.
Yes.
It was comically huge,
Huge.
and they really
They
wanted it to
feel
be a system that was going to be the center of your entertainment center. It had an HDMI in and out port. You could use it to, I don't know, use it to like control your television, your cable box, for those of you who had cable.
Yeah,
And we can't
was trying
forget,
to do a lot.
it also came bundled with Kinect.
Ooh, which seemed like a dying a thing.
Well, we had noted liar Peter Molyneux come out and say like, "Oh, look at all the things you can do with Kinect," and then noted liar lies, and we're just like, "Oh, it's a really bad Alexa.
Yeah, tell it really
It's
is.
a really
I
bad
can.
Alexa, and it really can't measure your movements the way you want it to."
Yeah, it was, You know, I don't really have any experience playing any games on this system. I don't know. I don't know what the controller is like. You know, I don't
It's
know
Xbox
what the
360.
interface. Yeah, I don't know what the interface is like. I don't even know how the games run on this system. I remember they were having like a big issue with the DMR.
Yes, well,
And like.
the issue was at their press conference, they said that you needed to be online all the time with the Xbox, which would require always on. And everyone pooped their pampers, and the PlayStation said, "Oh, you don't actually need any of that. You can just play your games how you wanna."
Yeah, and you know, it's really funny till this day, and I see this on forums and people chatting about things, not as much anymore, but there was a period of time where people thought that like a game system like the PlayStation 4, even the PlayStation 5, it's like in order to play your games, you had to be online at all times. It's like, no, that's not a thing. That's not a thing.
Yeah, and everyone brought up the good point. Like this was in 2012. It's like not everyone is online, and yeah, that's still kind of true. But I mean, there were more online now than they were then.
Yeah. But you've had more experience with the Xbox
I
One.
really liked the Xbox One a lot. I think it's a very solid system. It got off on the wrong foot, but I have to admit, the PlayStation 4 is the better system.
It truly is.
Yeah. And
The
mostly because the PlayStation 4 has a murderer's row of first-party games. I look at it and say, next, if you're ready, God of War, Uncharted 4, Marvel Spider-Man, Last of Us Part 2, Horizon Zero Dawn, Ghost of Tsushima, Infamous Second Son, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Detroit Become Human, Grand Theft Auto V, which was also on the Xbox, but you know, whatever. A fucking murderer's row. And the
Yeah.
best-selling game on the Xbox is Halo 5 and The Witcher 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know,
So.
and it's funny because I feel like the PlayStation 4 is a phenomenal system.
Yes. For wait,
And
Josh, I just found this interesting tidbit. For the record, do you know what the best-selling game on the Wii U list that was not part of a bundle?
no.
It's Mario Party 10.
Wow.
The best-selling
All
game
right.
overall is Mario Kart 8, but that came bundled with the system.
Okay.
So really, the best standalone, Mario Party 10.
Okay. Yeah, the PlayStation 4 is right when you open the box, you download a game. I wind up getting Second Son, and I was just impressed from the very start. I played Assassin's Creed Black Flag alongside that, and I was just like, this is amazing. What is going on here? Like, what is
It's
this?
such a great system. It's
It
sleek. It's powerful.
the
You got to
controller
plug the
is
VCR.
yeah, the controller is beautiful.
Yeah.
It really is, and it just I still have my launch PlayStation 4. I have it in the spare bedroom. Still runs. It's great. But yeah, no, this system starts with a phenomenal game with Infamous Second Son, and it ends with the same company with Ghost of Tsushima, and it's just, you see the progression of this system. You see how this system ages.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's beautiful. God of War happens on this system.
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit.
I mean, it's, and I it sounds like we're poo-pooing the Xbox One, and I don't want to poo-poo it too much because
Right.
I think it's a very solid system. You know, it came out of the box at $499. That's with the Kinect, I believe.
Yeah.
Which, you know, they caught on pretty quick that the Kinect was not worthwhile, and they stopped it. But That allowed the PlayStation, and you know, that disastrous E3 conference they had. And this was the days when an E3 conference could really make or break your system. And
Yeah.
the Xbox One never recovered.
They never recovered. And I still feel like they are still dealing with those repercussions today.
Well, yeah. So we're currently in the ninth generation. It starts with the Nintendo Switch. We have the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5.
Don't forget the Series S for Xbox.
No, I'm not going to.
That sounds good. Yeah.
The PlayStation 5 is a gigantic, big honking system.
It really is. It's I like it. I think the design's really cool. I have it on its side, in my entertainment center. It takes up a good spot on my entertainment center. It's about the size of my corgi.
Yeah, that's a good balance.
Yeah, not the weight of her, but the size of her.
When I went to IKEA, I was fortunate that they had a dummy model that you could pop into the TV stands to see
Oh,
if it would
cool.
fit.
That's nice. I think it's I look. It's the only system outside of the Switch. I have the Switch and I have the PlayStation 5. So I'm going to be a little biased because I've really moved away from Microsoft and Xbox since the PlayStation 4.
Sure.
And Matt helped out a lot in getting the PlayStation 5 for us. I thought that was an amazing thing that he did. But that Miles Morales game as a launch title for the PlayStation 5 is just kind of like I'm going to be excited to see what the final game is on this system.
Yes, if Sony's first party production is anything like it has been in previous generations, the end of the year, end of the life cycle of the PlayStation 5 is going to be tremendous.
Is.
Once it figures out how to harness all of its power.
And I feel like it is. And I feel like it's going to be Insomniac that's going to do it this time.
Yes,
And
probably.
it's interesting. And, I haven't played the New Horizon Zero Dawn game, but Matt has raved about it. I've been playing Elden Ring a lot, and I just really enjoy how fast it loads up. There's moments when I'm playing like games on the PlayStation 5, like Demon Souls. I'm like, I can't even look on my phone for like a thing that I need to do because the game's already loaded up. What am I doing?
The
What?
best thing this new generation has given us is rapid save times. Bless you.
Yeah. Saves and quick resume. I gotta
Oh,
tell you.
hey, buddy.
And there's Matt. Quick resume, bro.
Quick resume is so good on the Xbox.
It's an amazing generation to see. But I also do have to say that like I feel like a lot of these systems are gonna have the Fortnite fatigue. And it's like getting a gigantic superpower cell phone so you can just play Candy Crush. It's weird. There's a weird gaming dynamic happening right now where there are these hardcore free-to-play gamers that stream it, and then there's the I feel like the people who are playing like single-player games have now kind of become casual gamers. And
I don't
correct me
know
if
if
I'm
I'd say
wrong.
that.
Like I don't know personally for myself. Like I'm focusing on like pretty much like a not even like tons of games at a time, but a few games at a time, and I'm just really sinking my teeth into them because like I want to savor a lot of these products, and I just feel like Fortnite makes no sense to me. I know I might sound like an old man screaming at the clouds right now, but
Worry, you do.
it just doesn't make any sense, people.
Doesn't have to, it's fun.
Is it?
It is.
Are you sure?
Have you played it?
No.
Well, then I really don't think you can comment on the fun factor.
I
That's all I'm trying to say.
I hear you.
You can say it's not for you, but you can't claim that it's not fun.
It's definitely not for me.
If it wasn't fun, it wouldn't be as big as it is.
Yeah. You sure?
I mean, 10 million people can't be wrong. I mean, they can, but they're not. So yeah, that's.
Yeah.
Let's jump over to.
Are we still doing the other eras of video games?
Yeah, we just finished it.
Oh, did we? Boom.
Yeah, Matt.
We just wrapped up the PlayStation 5, bro.
Okay.
Do you have any thoughts about the PlayStation 5, Xbox One era?
I feel like it's the closest these two systems have been to each other.
Yes, I agree with that.
Every other generation has had a clear winner, I think. And with the increasing amount of games going multi-platform, whether through PC or joining each other, like, you've never had a time, not including Switch, it's its own beast, obviously, but, like, if you own an Xbox or you own a PlayStation, for the first time, you have the least amount of games you miss out on than ever before. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's interesting. We're going through the other generations, and, you know, every other generation has had, like, a major stumbling block out and has given one system the advantage. The only advantage Xbox has is that PlayStations are hard to get.
Honestly, yes. If supply chain stuff died down, PlayStation would just once again be surging. It's wild, but Xbox's Game Pass has done such a good job of making it at least worth owning as well.
Yes. I gotta tell you, Game Pass has really kind of spoiled me. Whenever I see a new game and it's not on Game Pass, I definitely think twice about getting it.
Now, here's a question for you then, Chris.
Yeah.
Are you, do you, when you play a game on Game Pass, have you ever then been compelled to buy it?
No. Never.
See? That is the downside to Game Pass, is that some people do. I do. If I find a game that I wasn't expecting and then end up loving it, I purchase it. Mm-hmm. Maybe not at full price, but eventually.
Yes.
But you've never done that.
No. Once I play a game on Game Pass, if I beat it, I usually just, I'm content to kind of let it go at that point.
Huh. Okay.
But you know, we're also very different in that I don't buy physical copies of things. I don't buy a lot of. I buy very few.
Well, me either. I mean, no. Hold on. My point is, like, a lot of the games I end up buying are digital titles.
Right. But you're also a collector. You like having physical copies.
This is true.
So, and my collecting brain is not focused on that area.
That's fair. What has been your favorite discovery via Game Pass?
The Yakuza series. 1,000%.
I wish I could say that, but I've already been a fan since the PS2 era.
Yeah, well, you know, you get to be the hipster today. Josh gets to relinquish his crown.
I'm fine with that. I am more than happy to do that.
But no, having them all on there, having them all kind of remastered, and as more people get into it, it really kind of sparks, like, the ease of getting into it. Because, like, I remember Yakuza 1 for the PlayStation 2, very difficult to get a hold of after a while.
Yeah.
And now you can just get Kiwami and knock it out in a couple of sessions.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you just pick up Yakuza 0, and it's like the perfect starting point.
So yeah, Game Pass overall net positive.
That's awesome.
I don't know what it says for companies trying to make money. That's not my problem. As a consumer, love it.
I mean, that is a very fair point.
Yeah.
So it is not your job.
Yeah.
Plus,
I'm sorry. Go on.
I was saying, like, the other thing is, like, they're compensated by Microsoft to be on it. So, you
Yeah,
know.
these developers are getting paid a certain percentage of the subscription base, and so on. So, you know, these subscription services are good for video games because they're also good for older games as well. A lot of younger gamers can finally play a lot of these older games that might be hard to get, or they don't have the systems to play those on. And, you know, I do feel like Game Pass is a really great concept and a great idea, and I do feel like it with a lot of these things you do start having diminishing returns when it comes to the products, and I do want to see where the PlayStation takes their subscription service, because I feel like there is they need to start pulling a lot from the PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 era and bringing those games into the light.
My problem is PlayStation debuted their quote unquote Game Pass variant, and it's just been half-assed and just forgotten almost immediately. Like they just here it all comes down to the fact that PlayStation is run by a Japanese company, and just like their archaic take on streaming and stuff like that, they're just 100% behind the times. And they do not want to do that. They feel like putting their first party games day and date on their edition of what Game Pass is cheapens their stable of games, even though we now have almost two full generations of proof from Microsoft saying that that is just 100% not the case. The only thing Sony misses out on is the sweet like press where they go like, oh, this game sold this many million copies, but you know that's not as relevant anymore, is it's not about how many sales you make, it's about are your games evergreen titles, you know what I mean, like are people constantly playing them, are they still part of the zeitgeist
Which
years later?
I also feel can be very problematic, because then, like, the games as a service then starts, that's when you start having the copy of the copy of the copy of the copy. And that's where I see, like, how do you have Indiana Jones and Darth Vader in the same video game?
Because it's a wish fulfillment.
It,
Josh,
yeah, it's
that's like complaining about Smash Brothers. Like why do you even have Cloud and Mario in the same game? That's what you sound like.
I was
Smash
so
Brothers is a
disappointed.
fighting game. I have no problem with Smash Brothers. I think Smash Brothers is a very well,
Smash
sleek
game.
designed.
That's the same concept though.
It's
You can't.
not.
It 100% is,
When
buddy.
are you when are you
You...
when are you gonna start railing against multiverses, huh? Or PlayStation
Yeah,
2
when are you gonna complain
Plus.
about multiverses? I
Look.
can't believe Finn the dog is fighting Shaggy for 2 years.
I'm gonna come out and say this. I dislike the whole player ready one type mentality of video gaming. I just don't
That's
like it.
fair.
I think
That's,
it
but again,
destroys originality, and I think it destroys the authenticness that comes from developing and designing and writing a video game.
and that's why
And
that stuff only exists in multiplayer games.
But I also feel like, you know, with this newer generation, this is we're starting to see some amazing styles of storytelling. So
Yeah.
I don't know. I
That's
think
not what I
that,
was originally saying. Oh yeah.
yeah.
Basically, PlayStation's Game Pass sucks. And I have it. I've upgraded to the premium version. And their stable of even just older games, PSP, Vita, they claim to have PS1, PS2, PSP, and Vita, and they do. And then PS3 is streaming only because the sale architecture sucks. But it's like, okay, remember how we all give Nintendo shit for their Nintendo Online offerings? They're like, oh wow, you have all these games on the Super Nintendo. Thank you so much for this one no one's ever asked for. Type of mentality. Like that's what it is. Like we got, hold on, I'm gonna pull it up because they just made an announcement of like the new batch of games dropping, and they do it in such a drip feed fashion. Like Xbox every month they're like, boom, here's a huge ass list of games. And they're big titles. And there's some small titles too, because that's the point, the discovery. But they net some huge, and PlayStation is all about old looking back retro, which is its own thing, and that's fine. I approve of it. But Microsoft's got a mix of both. It's got all the hot new shit as well as some older stuff. But PlayStation is doing it at such a drip-feed glacial pace in the games no one's asking for.
You mean Nintendo or PlayStation?
Both, PlayStation. But the problem is PlayStation is trying to directly compete with Game Pass, and because of that, it just is such a bad look. Okay, here we go. PlayStation Plus premium members for September. We're getting Alex Kidd in the Miracle World.
Cool.
Where's the other stuff? See, the other problem is it's all blurred. Like, okay, here we go. PlayStation Plus Premium Classics. Everyone remembers the PS3 classic Bentley's Hack Pack, right?
Nope.
And Kingdom of Paradise for the PSP.
Uh-huh.
And how can we forget the specifically the PSP version of Toy Story 3?
Oh.
And then finally, you have a good game. We get Sly Cooper Thieves in Time, the PS3 game. But that's obviously, that's streaming only. But like, that's my point. Like, right, that's what they've added for the whole month.
Huh.
And this is their new stuff. And they have... They are pulling from five different consoles: PSP, Vita, PS1, PS2, PS3, and then PS4. So six consoles. It should not be this bad and dire in the opening months of the service. The service is 2 months old. This is when they're supposed to be drawing more subscribers in by like hitting them with the big shit.
Is it two months old?
It's only 2 months old. The premium stuff is only like 2-3 months old, maybe.
Really?
Yeah, it's brand new, and I'm sorry, like, people can say it's unfair to compare something that just started to something that's been established for years, but you can't launch a competitor to an industry-leading service and just fucking half-ass it and expect people to be like, yeah, that tracks. I don't know. Like, you know I love my PlayStation. That's unquestionable, but loving it does not mean not, like, calling it out on some bullshit, because the PlayStation, for $120 a year, I'm expecting some better stuff is all I'm saying.
No, and I agree with you, Matt. I agree with you 100%, because there's a lot to pull from, and they're just not doing it. And I, you know, it could be so many reasons that you've mentioned, and also just could be a reason that it's just really hard to get a PlayStation 5. So it's, you know, or it also could be when they see that the consumers on the machine is playing one or two games all the time, then why even? You know what I mean? Like, the diversity of the ecosystem is lacking.
But that's not entirely true, because PlayStation gamers do play a wide berth of stuff.
I know. I'm just. These are just examples. Gotcha. These are just. Yeah. These are not truths, or these are just examples of things that could be determining certain things. And you know, marketers operate in certain ways that could be just plain, like, short-sighted. But that is a lot to say, and we haven't really mentioned much about the Switch, honestly.
Well, the Switch is, again, is its own beast. Like, Nintendo, Nintendo needed the Switch. They could not have gone from the GameCube being third place. Well, first of all, the N64 losing almost their entire market share to PlayStation, right? Then the GameCube being a very clear third place. Then the Wii being a, like, just fucking industry juggernaut, but also losing their entire third-party, like, lineup. Like, the Wii was a juggernaut, but it was so casual, and because it was so much weaker than its competition, it lost every third-party manufacturer. Like, the Wii was 90% Nintendo-made games and then shovelware. And then the Wii U came out and fucking just, not even Nintendo games could save that. And so they had just had so many losses over the decades that when the Switch came out and like is now just dominating everything, it's just like, you know, they're happy.
Yes.
So Switch is awesome.
The Switch is a brilliant concept to have it be pretty powerful, be able to go from handheld to tablet mode, and making it an indie game machine.
Indie RPGs, like, it is just the definitive retro games. Like, anytime something gets remastered, you're just like, fucking throw it on the Switch, baby.
Yeah,
it's a really nice system, and I know I drug my feet in getting a Switch, and I appreciate Matt for both the PlayStation 5 and the Switch. It's just a really nice video game system that understands what it needs to do and what it is.
And
I think that's important. I think that's extremely important for a game console, is those things. It knows what it is, and it understands what it needs to do.
Well, I think the other thing that really helps the Switch is that it, because it does not compete with the PlayStation or the Xbox, most people have one of those and then also a Switch. Like, the Switch is just everyone's de facto second system. Like, not everyone's going to get a PlayStation and an Xbox. But most gamers that choose to get a second console either get Switch as their first one or get Switch as their second one. And it's the perfect companion to a home console because it doesn't overlap almost anything. And the games that do overlap, you wouldn't get on the Switch over one of the other consoles. Like, no one's choosing the Switch as their Doom Eternal mainstay.
No. And it also, the thing that benefits the Switch is that Nintendo still has a very powerful catalog with itself.
Yep.
Its first-party games are going to be solid.
Near solid.
Yeah, Metroid, look.
Metroid Dread
just really was like, this is how you do.
Basically.
This is how Metroidvanias are. This is us. This is what we do. You know, and I find playing a lot of games on the Switch to be very satisfying. I think it's one of those systems where it's just kind of like you're playing it on the TV, and then, you know, Kate's like, well, you know, I'm going to watch something. It's like, cool, I'll just take it off and I'll go somewhere else and I'll just play like Octopath right here.
Yep.
Or Metroid here. And then it becomes a party game system too. You know, we have people over from Mario Party now, and
rooftop for rooftop parties.
You know, right? Mario Kart 8 is a very good game on the Switch.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's online. I play my brother's partner on Mario Kart online, and he lives three houses down instead
they
of coming
brother?
Over and playing. And the online feature
you
is
have a
pretty
brother?
Deep. Huh?
You have a brother?
Yeah, I have a brother.
Huh.
Yeah. And the online feature is pretty good. And I do find, like, the subscription service with the different tiers, but with the NES and the Super Nintendo, I find them pretty satisfying. I like the Nintendo catalog, I find to be very strong. The NES catalog, there's some really fun games on there. And then the SNES catalog, I feel like it needs a little more Square games. Just saying.
That's part of what I mean, is like, just there's so... yeah.
But, you know, honestly, like, the Switch saved a lot of people's sanity
during
COVID.
Let's be real. Animal Crossing did not plan it, but...
You know, Animal Crossing helped out a lot of people.
It's true.
Good for Nintendo.
Yeah.
Good for both. Right now, it's this weird moment where you step back and you look at the three main companies that have survived all the console wars, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo, and they're still standing, and they're all three of them are in a great place. You know, all three of them are in a really
Was
good
I
place.
just talking to a void?
Yes.
Okay.
I think you were.
I was literally just breaking down Animal Crossing success. Oh,
Yeah, go ahead. No, Animal Crossing success would be great.
no, I'm saying like no game is ever accidentally released at a more perfect time.
Right.
Like it got delayed from the holiday 2019 to March 2020, and no one could have expected that its release during the week lockdown was initiated to be
Yeah.
that perfect.
Yeah, its timing was amazing.
I think your timing's amazing.
Suspicious. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, Chris would go that way.
Suspicious.
The only thing suspicious here, Chris.
Very suspicious. Maybe Nintendo released the virus globally so they can sell more Switches and Animal Crossing because they were afraid of the failure of Animal Crossing.
Fucking nailed
Makes
it.
sense to me.
Got it in one.
Jewish space reptilian laser eyes creatures
All right,
that
now we're getting a little.
Now it's too real, Josh. Keep your own politics out of this.
You're right. Good point. Good point. So,
Yeah.
do we have time to talk
No, we don't. We're at an hour, so
about
we got plenty
handhelds?
of
Let's
time
do it.
next week.
Hey, handhelds next time. That's gonna be great.
Yeah.
And
Next week is gonna be
then we
all
can re-talk
questions.
about the Switch because it counts as both.
Oh, I'm
Yeah.
gonna veto that one. No, thank you.
Hey, Chris.
Hey.
What do most people use their Switch as?
Video game console. Next question.
Yeah, as a handheld.
No.
Yes. Yes.
All right. We'll be back next week. We will finish this. We will talk about the handhelds and how the Game Boy is really a Pokemon machine.
Won't be next week.
No, it'll be the week after, I
I'll be
guess.
at a trade show.
Yeah. Same
Sounds
thing.
good.
All righty. Y'all have a good night.
Bye, ladies.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.